morning to every one of you. And welcome. Into the word of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we see so many of the letters that are started by so many in the scriptures, and they start out and they start out with a very wonderful, exuberant, flowery greeting, you know, from the saints that are in Colossae or Ephesus or in these different places. They send their greeting to you, or greeting in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just lifting up in wondrous majesty and thankfulness. And you begin to feel more of a feeling of what they felt, the joy that they had in Christ, and what they hoped to convey through what was being stated within the script, the word, manuscripts, the letters, the exhortations, that they could hope to convey through the Spirit what was the mind of the Spirit or of the Lord, of Christ. And the passion, the zeal they were trying to convey. And so that the Spirit, the same Spirit that prevailed upon them, they were praying that also that same Spirit would be within those that receive. And so it is a wondrous thing how those things are knit together. This morning I would like to continue, and rather I believe the last of a series on the family. And I talked about the different parts, and even and so how closely intertwined they were, but tried to the best I knew how to help to make definition and lift up different parts of the family. And this morning as well, I hope to convey by the will of the Lord, you know, the value, the purpose, and also the many important attributes of children. And that's something we certainly can't get around, because we were all children once, and no matter what, we are children, because we're children of God and in the family of Christ. One thing I hoped that stood out or shone forth was how the body of Christ and how his children, and as we are knit together this morning, how our individual families, we can operate on those principles. Allow those principles within the gospel if we look to God's word and God's will. We look to His design of the body of Christ, and we see a shining importance, and we see great definition in the way we treat one another, and we should use those same recipes in our homes, because they're very important. God has given each of us to each other. He also wants us to value one another. There is such a value, you know, upon God's children that Jesus even made the example or the parable how important each one of you are to Him. That if we're one to stray, He says, wouldn't he leave the 99 and go after the one? And also He said there was a son that had left his father's home and went out to see the world, basically. And he went out and took his father, took his inheritance with him, so to speak, or the blessings or the care that his father had given him. And he went out and he basically, like we said, seed in the world. And then fell amongst bad times. And there were probably those that were friends for a while until the money ran out or the provision. And he said, you know, he would have eaten what the pigs ate. And he said, you know, the servants in my father's house eat better than this. I will go back to my father's house and I will basically throw myself at his mercy. And probably looking for his father's rebuke. But his father kissed him and he hugged him and he took him back and he put a robe upon him and a ring upon his finger and he says, my son was dead, but he liveth. And teaching us also about the value of one another and of a brother and sister, or our children, was the brother of this young man. He said, you had a feast for that boy that squandered it all. And why did you do that? And his son says, he was dead to me, but now he liveth. So the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. That it also speaks to us about the value of one another and the value of those in our family, and that we don't give up. Well, we pray for them. I think about Alma and his son, Alma Jr., who was actually going about seeking to destroy the Church of God. But the Lord wouldn't have it. But he also had plans for that young boy. And so we had to shake him up a little bit, didn't he? We find different examples of good counsel to children. Alma to his son, Corianton. Now, the son, he already knew better. He had already been taught, I'm sure, great and important things, great pieces of information. He was actually a minister's son. And yet he had to give him quite a licking in the word, if you will, or quite an exhortation, I should say, would be a better choice of words, in order to be able to turn from his ways. And so there are many such good, great, powerful examples, you know, where we've got great counsel given to us. And we even find, as we're going to talk about here a little bit later, of the example of there's a relationship. We find a very close relationship between a father and a son through all of the scriptures. That is of Jesus Christ and the Father. And so, we find in the very beginning how children are given to us. In the book of Psalms, it says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a heritage. And they're precious. And they are that precious of the Lord example. The very fact that you and I are to become as little children. That sort of attitude of humble and obedient nature. To accept the love of the Father. To be able to accept, you know, if we can't learn about what humble obedience is about, if our mind is steeped in other rebellious something that's working against the Spirit of the Lord, how can we accept salvation? I know I had preached a sermon one time on the sovereign will of the Lord. The sovereign will of the Lord. And if we cannot accept the sovereignty of God upon in our minds, our hearts, and our lives, if we cannot accept His, in other words, giving obedience to Him or obedience to Him in all of our thoughts and our ways and our beliefs, if we can't do that, we cannot truly accept Jesus Christ. If we cannot have the sovereign will of the Lord in our life, if we cannot submit totally to His will, That's why he talks about in Philippians, work out your soul salvation with fear, with trembling. It says fear has torment. And you don't want torment. And which the invitation is, if you have that sort of unrest in your life about your position with the Lord, and if you have kept the word of His patience and His commandments, or if you have that apprehension that if you were to stand before Him at this moment and things would not be well with you, that He wants you to look to Him with full purpose of heart to make out one's soul salvation. He wants you to have peace and assurance, it says, because perfect love, and perfect love casteth out all fear, and that is in Christ. Wants to look with Him with full purpose of heart and of mind as His children. But once again, as children are given to us, and they are presented to us, I believe, as not only gifts, but as a charge. And they are the blossoms of the next generation. And they're entrusted to us in order to do the best that we can with them. And the most important thing we can do, you know, in the very beginning, is giving them unto the Lord. It's giving them unto the Lord. Now, would you like to read with me, first of all, in the book of Mark in the 10th chapter. Mark in the 10th chapter. And I would like to start at verse 13. And they had brought little young children to Him that He should touch them. And disciples rebuked those that brought them. Probably said, you know, this is an important man. And don't bother Him with these young ones. They're to be to the side. Maybe they're to be kept quiet. Maybe they're to be seen and not heard. And Jesus told them, when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. And He said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Giving a very, very powerful example. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What kind of trusting, obeying, and loving attitude is that? You know, that's what we come together always to learn. We're trying to learn what is that acceptable, that meek, that humble attitude is. What is pleasing to the Lord? We're coming together to learn that, you and I, here in the family of Christ. He says, and he took them up in His arms, and He put His hands upon them, and He blessed them. That's, of course, the reason why we practice the very same, baby blessing. Presenting them to the Lord for His blessing. And you know something? It really also speaks to me that part of that blessing is with parents. That they're number one, that they're presenting them to the Lord, these little ones, and also that the home that is to be established is going to provide a blessing for the little child and in growth and learning and nurturing and admonition, all those good things that are put within the life, the little child. And so we take a look over, if you will, with me in the book of 3 Nephi, in the 8th chapter. On page 649 in most Book of Mormons. We have a very wonderful experience where the Lord is teaching His children, if you will, here on this continent. And Jesus makes a beautiful statement. In verse 22, He says, "And they rose from the earth, and He said to them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now, behold, my joy is full." Can you believe of that, conceive of that sort of statement from Jesus Christ? "My joy is full." And when He had said these words, He wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And He took the little children, one by one, and He blessed them. And He prayed unto the Father for them, such as we do today. We pray unto the Father for them. And when He had done this, He wept again, and He spake unto the multitude, and He said unto them, "Behold your little ones." And they looked, to behold, they cast their eyes toward heaven, and they saw the heavens opening, and they saw angels descending out of heaven, as if it were in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them, and the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true. For they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And so we see how precious an example this is, and even such that as we would read in the book of John, I believe it's in right around the third chapter, talk about where Nicodemus, he says that you must be born again. And gives that explanation to him: be born of the water, be born of the Spirit. And which witnesses unto the Father that we have accepted, and we are convicted about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that we want to be inheritors of eternal life. We're witnessing unto the Father of a new life, that we have repented of the old, and want to engage in the new. And we want to make a covenant with you, O Lord. And we come in by this way. We enter in by the way. We step upon that new path, such as a little baby that enters into life and is beginning to learn new things, beginning to grow in understanding and maturity. Much the same way as our life in Christ, He talks about. And so, how precious an example. You know? And so, I would like to also turn, if you will, over to the book of Proverbs in the 19th chapter. Now, even when Jesus was a little child, he submitted himself under his father and his mother. Even though he understood and he realized his father in heaven, that he grew up under his mother Mary and his father Joseph, and had great respect for them. Even such that he recited the same commandment that was given unto Moses by Jesus Christ himself, that we should honor our father and our mother, that it would be that with promise. That with promise. Not what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Proverbs in the 19th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 26 and 27. It says, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Seek, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from words of knowledge." Now, it counsels all the young people to honor one's father and mother, and don't chase them away, and don't say that what they're telling you is foolish, you know, and so on, and that we should have respect for them. And it says, "Cease, my son, to hear instruction that causes to err from words of knowledge." we only get a short piece of time, it seems like, with our children, and then there is a lot of time that's away from our protection, our word, our guidance, and so on. And there can always be the friend or the group of friends or whatever that's trying to say quite opposite of what we've been trying to teach. We've all had that experience. We understand, each of us understand that. We know that there was wise and loving things that our parents taught us. And it seems like people will walk away from that and look to, you know, there are others that will teach them quite differently because of whatever reasons, or say that it was foolish or it's not fun or whichever. Or we could do things the faster way, the easier way, or whatever, you know, that may be more appealing. And we also understand that when we did listen to that, we all know that there was examples of what went wrong, and understood that what they said was true. And so we see much the same way with our Father in heaven, that we may know and understand. Many may know and understand what is true. And our fathers told us, and so on, but many tend to listen to the counsels of others out in the world and try to persuade them that the faster way, there's an easier way, there's maybe a way that's more prosperous. Or, you know, look the other way for a while you may do this or do that. And after I get past this experience, then I'll attend to what's right and what's wrong. Because we're all still children, no matter what. We'll all still be growing and maturing in Christ until the time we stand before Him. We stand before that judgment seat. So we see so many wondrous things. So we can't, not only do, in our youth, we should not waste our father and chase away our mother, that we may cause shame. We see many examples in that in the Scriptures, don't we? And stay away from and cease to hear the instruction that causes us to err from words of knowledge. We find over it back into the book of Matthew in the 15th chapter. Book of Matthew in the 15th chapter. And we find that once again is as there are those who like to accuse Jesus in what he was practicing and what he was doing, such as his disciples, and they talk about washing their hands when they eat bread, so to speak. And he's kind of giving them an example, or turn the tail right back upon them. Why don't you basically keep your own law? Why don't you keep the one that was given to you? You don't even do that in sincerity. But he's also giving us a piece of information here too. And he's telling them, and he answered and he said to them, these scribes and Pharisees, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy mother and thy father. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die to death. Yet when they said that, he wasn't just fooling around. They would. The child could be taken out and stoned for that. For this, that's a pretty staunch or strict thing. But they did. He said, but ye say, whosoever shall say unto his mother or his father, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Basically, we had where the child was running the house. And you know, I'm this gift to you, which, you know, the gift of life is precious, we know. But basically, trying to run his father and his mother and run the home. And you know, we see that today in a lot of examples. We've all seen examples of that where, you know, the child can run the home. Be careful of that. You know, if the child cannot come unto know what is respect and obedience to father and to mother, how can they hope to know or to kneel in respect and obedience and obedience and the sovereignty unto the Father, through the Son, unto salvation? How could they hope to accept that if they do not even know what true respect is about and love? And so we got to be careful about that. Yes, we understand about the preciousness of life and love within our families, and we got to be careful that we don't seem to think that you know, just everything that we gift unto, you know, the kids is the true expression of love. Now, we like our Father in heaven, yes, gives gifts and blessings and things like this, but our Father in heaven also corrects us. Now, he's corrected me many times and continues to be very patient with me. And I know he blesses me, but I hope to think and rely upon that I give him the honor and glory that is his by the things that I have done. It has been exemplified maybe in my ways. And I hope to think that I have matured in Christ such, and if my Father in heaven has given me responsibility in as much as I've been able to be matured enough to handle it. I believe our Father in heaven does these same things to us, each of us, as we to our children, that we hope to think that as much as we've taught them and we've placed responsibilities upon them for experience. And they say, you want to help keep their feet flat on the ground? Put a little responsibility on their shoulders. And the Lord does this to us to see how we'll handle it. But you know something? He does not give us a task he doesn't prepare us for. And so, we also find that he corrects us in so many ways too. And it's a good thing that he doesn't. And sometimes that is in a manner we have to understand where there are things we ask for and we don't get. And we all say this many times, it's a good thing we don't get everything we ask for. We've got to be very careful about some of the things that we have asked for and realize that it wasn't, you know, the right thing. Now, I probably did you a slight disservice. We probably should have kept our thumb in the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. I should have known better. Should have made that reference. Maybe a little forgetfulness. Who knows? Proverbs, the 22nd, and the first to the sixth verses. One thing I might like to say, and that is that there, you know, our Lord and our God is a forgiving God in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he forgives, I believe he forgets. He doesn't bring that up again. And doesn't want you to either. But you know something, you need to be careful. You know, our Lord may forgive, and our Lord may forget, and he wants us to go on. Just like Jesus told the lady who was caught in adultery, I don't condemn you, but don't sin no more. All right. But you see, others do not out in the world. Our brothers and sisters here teaches us, too, about forgiveness and restoring one another. but there are many out there in the world that do not, and they remember everything. And we see how important it is, the things that that transpire in our lives and the examples that we set. And we find there are people out there in the world that they can do anything that they feel like. But when they find out that you are a Christian, if there is one thing that you do wrong, they will remember that all the time and they will bring that up. Verse 1 of chapter 22 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. But humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward, and he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." See how important and how precious that is. You know, to train up a child in the way he shall go, he shall not depart from it. And you know, we find that we're supposed to all be learning it at all times. You know, when our children are young, you see, there's a time when their brains seem to absorb a little bit more, and things are a little bit more, you know, pliable there, or absorbed, and so on. The great lessons, just like the example that I believe it was Buzz gave us an example here. You all remember it. We've all heard the story, you know, the jar with the rocks. And the man was a professor that was giving an example to his students, and he started putting in a bunch of big rocks into the jar. And when it was full up with big rocks, and he said, "Is the jar full?" And they most all of them raised their hand and said, "Yes, it is." So just wait a minute. And so he went, he put in a bunch of real smaller ones in there and filled up a little few more cracks. And he said to them, he says, "Okay, now is the jar full?" And not so many of them. Some were catching on, some were not. And said, "Is it full?" And a lot of them said, "Yes." He said, "Well, just wait a minute." So then he took grains of sand and filled the rest up with sand. And he said, "Is it full?" And fewer of them raised their hands, "Yes." And he said, "Well, wait a minute." So he took a cup of water. And then he filled the rest of it with water. And he said, "Now, what was the secret to what all I did? What did you learn?" One very observant student his hand, or she, said, "You got to put the big rocks in first." And that's the same lessons that we try to teach, you know, to our children. And I know we were not perfect as parents, but we tried to do the best that we could. Just like anybody. But if you use the rule of thumb, which is Jesus Christ and his gospel, we put many, many precious things, you know, into our children. But to find the great big lessons, you know, are to be learned, and they are more easily accepted, we hope, you know. And so, you know, we find that we are our children are a lot like, you know, we find in the gospel where it says that we are given to freedom. We're given to freedom, absolutely. And the Lord has set us on a course, and he's given us the freedom to act and to be acted upon. And there's good and there's evil and so on and so forth. But we look for stability and we look for structure. And it's just, it's much like our children. They like freedom. And many people like to give kids freedom to do so many things, and they hurt and they can hurt them. It's much like being out in the middle of the desert. And we want to take, if we were dropped in the middle of the desert, if you and I were dropped in the middle of a desert and said, "You know, this is now your home. This is now your home." You know, much like that one program that where the guy is dropped in the middle of nowhere, in a different environment, and he's trying to take care of himself. I don't even know the name of the survivor, probably, I think is the name of it. trying to use whatever wherewithal in order to be able to preserve himself. First thing he looks for is structure, something to be able to protect himself from the elements, especially if it's cold. And you learn about the environment that is around you because there are great dangers. And if you're in the middle of maybe in the bush in Africa, there could be even snakes. There could be different things. You know, you could be, it depends upon the environment that you're in. Or if you're in the middle of the desert, like I mentioned, it could be heat. And the one thing that you learn that a lot of my brothers have told us about the desert, that after the sun goes down, it may have been 100 degrees during the day, but it can drop off to like 40 at night or less. And so you have to take, and to have provision for that. So you kind of learn the lessons from the environment that you're in. But you look for order. You maybe look for food. Look to take care of yourself and so on. Very real experiences. And so we look for those things. We look for order. We look for structure. And much do our children. Even though our Lord has set us at liberty, at each of us, okay, even as though he set us at liberty. As a matter of fact, let's look with me over in the Galatians in the 5th chapter. Galatians in the 5th chapter. Let's read the 13th verse together. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then he goes on to say, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you know something? That's the greatest thing that we can teach our young people. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You know something? We don't have to teach them about self. We don't have to teach them about thinking about themselves, think about how good they look, how what they would like to eat, teaching them about what they would like to... So many other things that have to do with self. The world is set on a course of nature, and there is a design out there for the love of the world. And we know that God says whoever is a lover of the world is an enmity or division with God. And the old devil himself has set a multi-billion dollar entertainment industry and likes to whisper in their ears all over. We've been called unto liberty. And we like to think that with our children that liberty is granted when responsibility is handled. And I have seen that even with my own father. We used to build houses together. And I realized that I was granted more responsibility. I knew that when we were building this house to sell, he didn't want to give me something. He knew, like putting up the wall and the window sitting in here like a parallelogram, or putting up the wall, you know, laying out the wall and making it 2 inches shorter than at this end, you know. But when he understood that I could handle, then he might have me go through with layout. Generally, he did the layout. And one thing I will remember, and this was last summer, and we were my brothers and I and Sue and my sister and the other sister-in-law, and we were hanging rafters. We were all out there. We thought there was going to be this great crew would show up of other people, and it ended up being family members. But we had all been around that type of environment before. And so each knew how to help to be able to swing rafters up. And we had to, brother here, brother there, as out in the middle, and if I slipped, I was going to get clubbed with the rafter. and we would get them up and get them straight and get them you know, in line. Make sure the peak is straight, because you don't want to be up there and have your cap line going like this, all over like a snake. And we get done, and my father, and you know my father is on the prayer list, and he could barely get out there, take a look, but my dad's eyes are still very sharp. And he says, you know, you guys did a pretty good job there. He said, that thing's is pretty straight. It looks pretty good from down here. He's down there. He's able to observe and to see. And the only thing that could come to my mind at this time was rather a piece of praise to what he had taught us. I said, Dad, did you expect us to do any differently than what you taught us? And kind of laughed about it together. Did you expect us to do any different? And you know what? I think that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. You know, and He gives us an environment. And He gives us good, sound, wise instruction. And He expects us to make the best opportunity with it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to go on here in Galatians just a little bit. So for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye are not consumed one another. And in the Book of Mormon, it talks about that we would not allow our children to fight and quarrel and to serve the devil, who is the master of sin, you see. So we've got to watch about those that coming into our homes. This day I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so we see how important it is when we receive the counsel. Let's turn over with me to Ephesians in the 6th chapter. See how I kept you just one book away here instead of taking you to all the other end of the scriptures? Well, and here once again is quoted what Jesus Christ said. First of all, chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And there's so many reasons why it has promise. It has future. It has reasoning, and it should have good judgment. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we find that if we are trying to bring up our children for good reason in the nurture, their view of who God is, who His Son Jesus Christ is, so they look at the loving attributes of the value of salvation. When you can instill within them and they could come to know what the love of Christ is about, the best you know how, be the wisest thing that we can do. And there won't be that bitterness or the anger and so on and so forth. They will understand about commitment, and that we could also nurture them on to what the necessity of baptism is about. Committing unto that covenant, that importance and receiving of his Spirit. And we know that there are there's a time that we are nurturing onto a time of responsibility. We got to be careful that we don't let that responsibility slide. That we wonder, what is the right time for a person to make that commitment to understand and to accept Christ and to be baptized? That we should be encouraging. And I think Randy keeps making that statement. Boy, if you can understand algebra, you ought to be able to understand a lot of things. And I also say that if a person can learn how to drive and take their life into their hands, and those of others on the road, and could end their life at any time, certainly they should all be thinking about their commitment to the Lord and responsibility. And so, and we find that there is a level of maturity that is different, you know, between different people, different children. And, you know, we look at our the different parts of our family and our position in that family. And we can either get along to the furthering of the family unit, and especially in the body of Christ here, or not. What is your place in your family? Okay, if we take a look at a very powerful example in the Book of Mormon, all right, do you remember the family of Lehi when they were coming across upon the boat? And they know there were some obedient ones, there were some disobedient children. And they had both seen very powerful things, but Laman and Lemuel had a spirit that was not of the Lord. And it found that when they were upon the waters and their lives depended upon it, they started rioting until they were about consumed in the depths of the sea. And a lot of families are consumed in the depths of life because of the contentions in the home, because of disobedience. Until they learned they were about to be consumed and they repented before the Lord. And then they were allowed to be steered to safety. The same example with each of us in our position, you know, in our homes, in our lives. And you know, there's one other example I would like to make about children. That is the example of Jesus Christ and of His Father. That His Father of course, our Father, which is in heaven. But He came representing Him in all things. And as we were reading in Colossians this morning, He was the express image of the Father. And we find that in different the generations, that we find very good attributes, you know, or mannerisms and so on, in the next generation, don't we? But Jesus Christ came representing the Father in all things. It was expressly important that He came to perfectly example the love of the Father, the purpose, and also for salvation's sake. Just each of us, you know, could we say that we have represented our families rightly and good in all things? Just like you said, a good name is better than fine gold. I'd like to take one other piece of scripture, and that is in the book of John, in the 17th chapter. In the book of John, we find a wonderful relationship between a father and a son. The eternal Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. 17th chapter of the book of John says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should have eternal life, to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is the eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work that Thou hast given me to do. Now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given them unto the words which Thou hast gavest me, and they have received them. They have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but them which Thou givest me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come unto Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one, as we are. Did you feel the desire that He had there? That He has exemplified and glorified the name of the Father and the oneness that, that they had had there. There are many attributes that are wonderful attributes and things that our parents have taught us. And do you remember that they have given each of us maybe tasks to do? Did we do them to the best of our ability with the skills that we were given? And it was rather a praise. Others had seen that, and you know, you could truly say that what you had done heartily, and others had seen that, you know, something you had been taught, and through your father or from your mother, just as we have those that have likeness. You know, our sister showed us a picture of her great-great-grandmother. And I'm telling you what, you got to see that picture and you got to look at Sister Sharon. It looks just like Sister Sharon. You could just it's uncanny. You know, it's the bare likeness. But do we also, from what we've been taught, just as Jesus with his Father, he was obedient in all things, did we show honor to our Father and our Mother? And that we'd use that wisdom, and especially as we are teaching our children, that the rule of Jesus Christ and his gospel is the important thing. And so I thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers.